mentioned time for your phone calls. Off the top in this hour, though, I want to take a look at a group of activists based, as I understand it, primarily in New York. A movement calling itself the Freegan Movement. Now, there's a website for this. It's freegan.info. That's F-R-E-E-G-A-N. The word itself is kind of amalgamation of sorts of the word free and the word vegan. But this is not necessarily a vegetarian or an animal rights movement. It's a movement, well, as they describe it on the website, it's a website dedicated to revealing human overconsumption and waste. It's a protest movement, I guess, of sorts, against Western society and the amount we consume and the amount we waste. And they've taken some interesting steps in order to counter that and try to live their lives while at the same time not being a part of that society. Well, joining us to explain this a bit further, we welcome to the program Adam Weissman. He's based out of New York. He's the founder, one of the founders of this group and the website freegan.info. Adam, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me this evening.
Well, I took a stab at it. Why don't I ask you, someone who is a freegan, what is a freegan?
Well, freegans are people who are concerned about the, frankly, abuses of the environment, the violations of human rights, and the cruelty to animals that unfortunately goes into the production of our everyday products in our profit-driven mass production society, where, frankly, to the corporations producing our goods, the bottom line comes before the kind of social concerns that many of us would want to see considered in the creation of the goods that we buy every day. And at the same time, while we're concerned about what's happening to the products that we consume before we use them, we're equally concerned about where they're going after we use them.
Well, when you say goods, when you say products, you're essentially talking about everything.
Right, just about everything that we buy, use, and consume in our daily lives.
Well, everything is obviously a lot, and I guess the question becomes then, how does one avoid buying goods or buying products? And I suppose this comes to the essence of what the freegan movement is all about, and one particular aspect, which, for lack of a better word, would be called dumpster diving.
That's right, and dumpster diving is a strategy where people literally, as the term says, explore waste, explore trash, not necessarily just dumpsters, but including dumpsters, and really just look at the refuse that's being discarded by corporate offices, by retailers, even by individuals. We are a tremendously wasteful society where people are told constantly that the goods that we've already purchased aren't good enough, that we should replace rather than repair, that last year's clothing fashions are inadequate and we need the newest styles, where retailers work off business models where they regularly discard goods in massive quantities while they're still entirely usable. One of the most egregious examples is food. In the United States, for example, a recent study at the University of Arizona found that $100 billion worth of usable food are discarded every year. That's half of the food produced in the country, the consumable food in the country, which accounts for, in a planet where 8 million people starve to death every year and somewhere in the range of 800 million people live under starvation conditions. We're talking about enough food to make a major dent on global hunger that's just being discarded, either by farmers who are literally leaving fruit on the vine because the market isn't there to sell it at the prices they like, or retailers for example, a sandwich shop that sells 10 or 20 sandwiches and then discard 70 or 80 after selling them to consumers at $6 or $7 a pop, or even families who statistically discard. Something in the range of over $630 in food every single year, usable food that they throw away in usable shape.
So let me ask you this then, the clothes you wear, the food you eat. The furniture you sit on, the bed you sleep in, Adam, all of this stuff in your life, was all of this foraged for?
To the greatest degree possible, yes. Most of my clothing, all of my food, just about everything that I can acquire through recovery, I do. And there are a range of strategies for that. One is dumpster diving, which is sort of unusual and sensationalistic, but there are other approaches as well. People have events like free meets or what are jokingly called really, really free markets, where people sort of have flea markets and give away items that they no longer need, and then other people take those items. And partly it's about challenging waste, but also it's about challenging this sort of competitive materialism and hoarding of goods, where we make money, buy things, and then hold on to them for our dear lives until we discard them to buy better things, and really promoting a set of values based more on sharing, less on competition, and more on the idea that we need to see these goods through their full lives, knowing the social and environmental impact that it took to produce them in the first place, considering how, for example, that piece of mahogany furniture that we have may very possibly have been logged illegally, as 80% of mahogany exports are, often at the cost of human lives, as there's a strong connection between the mahogany trade and the killing of indigenous people. And or you can look at a similar situation in Burma, where there's a connection between the teak export trade and human rights atrocities by the government there. Aluminum goods are often produced through strip mining of rainforest areas. Most of our mass production requires large amounts of petroleum, and I think we all know about a lot of the social and environmental impacts there, from rainforest oil pipelines to oil spills to, as we're unfortunately all too familiar with in the U.S., wars that are being fought in the interest of oil.
Let me ask you this. Do you work for a living, Aaron?
I do, but I'm able, one of the, frankly, luxuries of this lifestyle is that I'm able to take some time between jobs much more than I would be able to otherwise, because I consume a lot less and have far lesser expenses. Right now, I'm unemployed, I'm between jobs, and whereas otherwise that would be crushing, it's something that for short periods I can afford to do.
Okay.
One of the things that we're trying to encourage here is the idea that, frankly, we don't have to be slaves to our jobs, that we can have a little more freedom in our lives, and that our jobs can serve us rather than us serving our jobs, and we can live lives that are based on our values and goals, and that we can really enjoy rather than feeling like wage slaves 365 days a year, frankly.
One of the questions, and I guess there are many here, we'll go through, one of the questions that comes to mind here is, why not attempt to drive the market and then abandon it altogether? And an example, if we're going to talk about tables, mm-hmm. Instead of encouraging people not to buy tables at all, wouldn't it be more responsible to say to people, make sure you're buying a table that was not made from trees from the rainforest? If you want to buy a table, go find a guy who's growing trees in his yard and doing so responsibly, replanting trees and making his own tables and selling them for himself so he can feed his family. Why not do that kind of responsible consumer education?
And I'm not trying to we're not trying to disparage that in any way. Unfortunately, what we found is that even with some of your more socially responsibly produced goods, there are generally speaking loopholes. Even when you're talking about, say, sustainably grown organic coffee, there's still the packaging to consider and the environmental impact of shipping that product from halfway across the world and all the petroleum that consumes. So certainly, we're not trying to make people feel that any step that they're taking to be more responsible in their consumption isn't welcome. Any step in the right direction is a great thing. This isn't a movement that's about pointing fingers or about purism or about being holier than thou, but it's about trying to make responsible choices. And within that, there's a spectrum. There's certainly finding a table that would otherwise go to waste, recovering a table that's going to take up space in a landfill, that, as I'm sure we've all seen those nights when people just put out lots of furniture for trash collection, that's clearly the best option because that's causing the least ecological impact. Now, if people aren't going to do that, certainly there are better options than the worst-case scenario, but we're trying to get people to consider, to really think carefully about our choices, think about what our needs are and what are the best things that we can do in any scenario, and just run that spectrum.
Right, Adam, let me get you to hold the line here. We're going to come back. Sure. We'll talk more about this, and I think there would probably be some broad agreement out there that we as a society do waste too much. So how do we go about addressing that? Do we take it to this extent that the freegans are doing? And again, you can read more at their website. It's freegan.info. Speaking with Adam Weissman, who is the founder and creator of this group. And we'll come back and get some of your phone calls as well. It's The World Tonight. We're back after this.
Local news, letting Calgarians know what's going on in their city. Most local radio stations can't be bothered, but here at CHQR, it's at the heart of what we're all about. We've got Calgary's only newsroom that's staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we do so because we've made a commitment to keep people informed about what's going on in their own backyard. If it's happening in Calgary and you need to know about it, keep it tuned to Southern Alberta's Information Authority. On the hour, every hour, AM 770 CHQR. News, talk, sports.
Q107, Calgary's classic rock. Q107.
If you're doing a kitchen or bathroom reno, you've probably pored over the magazines. Why is it the rooms in those publications look so good? You certainly don't envision those possibilities when you visit the big box stores. So what is it then? Hi, Dave Rutherford here. The natural stone, the ceramic tile you see in those home decor mags is exactly the stuff you'll find at Northland Construction Supplies. And those rich looks are a lot more affordable than you may think. Explore your possibilities. Northland Construction Supplies, Edmonton, Calgary, Red Deer, and Fort McMurray. Or online, northlandconstruction.com.
CMT presents A Lesson in Romance with Ed.
You know what women are? Fancy men. Start with a man, add a bunch of interesting bells and whistles, you got a woman.
Be philosophical.
She's in love with a pompous jack.
Choose your words carefully.
You sleep with Nick? Ooh!
Show maturity.
I found my wife lying naked in bed with a mailman.
Always knock first.
Neither rain nor sleet in the gloom of night could stop him from having sex with my wife.
And never forget your umbrella. Romance Ed style. Weeknights at 6 on CMT.
Head into fall looking your best with Sears and Lancome. With any Lancome purchase of $32 or more before taxes, receive an exclusive 7-piece gift which includes new Rouge Absolute lipstick and Color Focus Quad Eyeshadow in your choice of colors, High Definition Mascara, Resolution Decontractile Anti-Wrinkle Cream, and more. All in a color-coordinated pouch. One per customer while quantities last. This exclusive Lancome gift is on now. Sears. Good life, great price.
If you don't like your relatives, well, a hide a bed will do. But if you want to offer guests a great night's sleep, call Custom Wall Beds. Turn any room in your house into a bedroom in 3.5 seconds. You have to stop by Custom Wall Beds and see it for yourself. And while you're there, check all the other amazing space-saving innovations they have for your home. There's only one authorized Murphy bed dealer in Calgary, and it's Custom Wall Beds. Go to CustomMurphyBeds.com or call Custom Wall Beds at 236-8866.
The world can be a busy place.
And we wrap it up for you every weeknight on The World Tonight with Rob Breckenridge on AM 770 CHQR.
And we are back from a brief timeout, of course, encouraging more consumption. Speaking with a group devoted to countering the amount of consumption and materialism and waste in our society, Adam Weissman with the website and the group Freegan, and their website, freegan.info. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, it's, you know, if we take this to its logical conclusion, Adam, if all of a sudden tomorrow, if everybody in North America heard this interview and read your website and thought this was a great idea, if everyone became a freegan tomorrow, where would we be then?
Well, that's a great question. It's something that we get asked a lot. And I think fundamentally it would lead to two things. First of all, there'd be less people would be buying less, and there'd be less incentive for manufacturers to overproduce so heavily. I think we'd see pretty quick decreases in the overall amount of consumption, both on the the overall amount of production, and that right there would have a significant impact on waste. Now, realistically, that's not going to happen. This is going to be a slow change, and what we're trying to encourage here is really a shift in the way we deal with our economy altogether, and the way that our society is run. We think this global mass production model, frankly, just isn't very sustainable, and we have to look, and as we see rapidly rising oil prices and a lot of people now talking about the fact that our global oil supply is very finite and many of the ways that we're currently managing our global economic systems aren't terribly sustainable, people are really going to have to start having very serious conversations about having much more localized systems to accommodate our needs, seriously reducing our materialism and the degree to which we depend so much and fulfill our needs through the acquisition of consumer commodities, this sort of value in our society, that the way that we'll find fulfillment is by the newest, shiniest car or the fastest computer, and frankly move towards a much simpler society.
But it's not as though we're all globally drawing from the same pot here. It's not as though if I consume less, all of a sudden there's more for someone, say, in Africa to consume because I didn't consume as much. That if I just decide tomorrow to stop consuming as much, it doesn't mean that there's any more out there for someone in some place who needs.
Right, and there are questions of there are certainly questions around the inadequacy and frankly injustice of global distribution of resources, which is also a question that has to be addressed. And it shouldn't be taken to say that that we're saying that it's as simple as if you buy one less of something, there's going to be more of the same thing for someone in a poor country. At the same time, we think it is critical that we look at the ways that our global economy right now is driving poverty and lack of resources in many countries where, and this is frankly a larger and fairly complicated question, but where right now global economic institutions are driving first world dependence in third world countries by shifting third world countries away from exactly the kind of community-based economics that we're talking about towards much more a model of export, to much more a model of export economies for the first world, for example, producing cash crops for the first world rather than something more along the lines of what we would advocate, which is what people have done traditionally, which is growing for their own needs and to serve their own communities.
For better or for worse, and obviously I suppose you would lean toward the latter, for better or worse, our society, and I guess I speak of North America, Canada, and the U.S., mm-hmm. is a prosperous society, and it's been based on all of these things, and a lot, much of which obviously you protest against, but we are a wealthy society, and even though we may consume too much, we're still in a position that we are wealthy enough to help these other countries, to provide assistance, to do what we can to address areas and situations of starvation. Were we not a wealthy, prosperous society, Adam, I say we could do nothing to help these countries.
Well, I think a lot of, frankly, what we have to look at is a lot, right now, some of the best things, not to say that we shouldn't be providing aid, but a lot of the best things that we need to do in a lot of countries is, frankly, stop causing trouble. A lot of the, frankly, we're out, the impact of corporation of a lot of the corporations based right in this part of the world are responsible for a lot of the poverty in other parts of the world. When you're looking at, for example, companies that are driving things like patents on life, that are trying to patent seed crops and force farmers towards using their seed crops and eliminate the genetic viability of the crops that people have grown traditionally through things like some of the proposed Terminator seed technology that was proposed by companies like Monsanto through trying to push towards pesticide-driven economies and specially grown genetically modified organisms that are responsive to those pesticides that run the risk of destroying the ecology for all the other crops in those regions. Frankly, just reining in the impact of some of our own corporations can be one of the best things that we can do to address some of the poverty and injustice that people are facing in other countries. And a big part of our message here is not only that we need to be more cognizant of our own waste, but that we need to also be more cognizant of where our dollars are going. Of looking at, for example, when we give our dollars to a company like Chevron Texaco at the gas pump, that we're supporting a company that's responsible quite literally for the murder of indigenous people in Nigeria, for a company that's caused birth defects for generations through their very dirty oil operations in Ecuador. Looking at how when we support a company like Disney, we're supporting child sweatshop labor. Companies like M&M Mars are using child slavery in the production of chocolate. And just really considering how the large corporations that market to us every day are, frankly, involved in global atrocities.
Well, okay, and I mean, I'm not going to respond to individual accusations. I mean, you know, that may be the case. But let me put it to you this way in a more broad sense. If we can't create a society where we have this much to waste, where obesity is a problem even amongst the most poor, where we have more than enough food, if we can create that society, why would that not serve as a model for other societies who cannot feed themselves because of the methods that they use to try to do that? Are we not a society, as I say again, for better or worse, to emulate?
Because the problem right here is that what we're doing is not globally sustainable. The fact that there is a third world living under starvation conditions is precisely because of the first world that we've created. We're essentially leeching the resources of the planet away in order to create an imaginary dream here, something that can't last, something that is only that can only be sustained by depleting the resources of the entire planet. In the United States, you're talking about a country that has 4% of the world's population but uses 20% of the planet's resources. If the entire planet was living that way, we'd be facing a totally unsustainable ecological catastrophe even beyond the scale that we already are. Right now, primarily because of use in the first world in countries like Japan, we're depleting the planet's rainforest at a completely unprecedented rate. 300 species are going extinct on a daily basis. Now, in the age of dinosaur extinction, we were talking about a rate of about one species a year. We're now talking about 300 species a day. Essentially, we're in the early stages of a catastrophe that we're only beginning to see, and a lot of scientists are now talking about some of these extreme weather events that we're seeing, a lot of the floods, hurricanes, and other catastrophic events that are happening more and more worldwide are actually directly linked to global warming that's being caused by our emissions, largely in the first world, through our automobiles and production.
Well, let me give up the website again. People can read more about this for themselves. It's www.freegan.info. That's freegan.info. Adam, we appreciate your time here this evening. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
All right, there you go. Adam Weissman, he's with the Freegans. And look, underneath it all, I mean, there's a basic point here that to varying degrees, I suppose, we would agree on, that being the amount of waste that we as a society generate. So fair enough. I mean, can we look at ways? Why is it that we waste so much? What are the consequences of that? Fair enough. But, how far do we take that? And what's the reason for it? And how much do we dismantle our economy and our society, the jobs we all depend on, the goods that people produce so that they can feed their own families, so that we can build a strong, prosperous country? How much do we dismantle it? The Freegans would say we really need to dismantle it. We need to go very far in dismantling it. In the meantime, until we get there, we need to be digging through the garbage to feed ourselves and to clothe ourselves. Is that the way you're prepared to live that life, and do you feel guilty about the way you live your life? Well, we're going to talk about that. We can get some of your reaction to this conversation. Some other news I want to get to as well, and we'll open up the phone lines. It's Rob Breckenridge, The World Tonight. We're back after this.
It's 12 degrees in downtown Calgary. Good evening from the AM 770 CHQR 24-hour news center. It's 8:30. I'm Radonna Souk. Traffic was a nightmare on the Trans-Canada near Field, BC today after a fatal collision. Three people were killed, four others injured. Water levels are dropping slowly in parts of New Orleans as workers repair a 60-meter-wide gap in a canal. The level in one ward dropped more than 30 centimeters. Deputy Prime Minister Anne McClellan says aid from Canada will likely continue flowing to the U.S. for weeks in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Tuesday, four ships loaded with emergency supplies will leave from Halifax for the Gulf Coast. CHQR guaranteed weather clear this evening and a low of 3 with the risk of frost. Sunny and 19 for tomorrow. Wednesday, sunshine and up to 23. It's 12 degrees from the CHQR News Center. I'm Radonna Souk.
Sports Talk on CHQR.
I'm Conan Daly. This Monday, Mark Stevens back in the studio alongside Jock Wilson, and they'll take you through the aftermath of the Labor Day Classic. With its in-depth analysis, locker room interviews, coaches' comments, you know Mark and Jock will have it on the only station with Stampeder football. Mark and Jock will also take a look back at the weekend's Alberta Classic, and of course, your call.
Sports Talk with Mark Stevens and Jock Wilson. Weeknights from 9 till 11 on AM 770 CHQR. News, talk, sports.
Ever take a yellow school bus like that when you were a kid? Yeah, but I didn't miss it.
Is today the day you forget what those flashing red lights mean?
You know you have to stop, right?
The kids are off, aren't they?
But the lights are still flashing.
Is today the day someone's child doesn't make it home for dinner? If you think it can't happen to you, you're just not listening. Flashing red lights mean stop for school buses. It's Collision Prime Time. A message from the government of Alberta.
Turn it on
again.
Great hits, great memories, great prices.
Start living again.
Start listening again with great music like Led Zeppelin Early Days Best of Volume 1, The Eagles Greatest Hits Volumes 1 and 2, and Fleetwood Mac Greatest Hits. Turn it on again with these and other great CDs, specially priced now at participating record stores. Go to turnitone.ca to see more titles and for your chance to win a trip to see The Eagles or one of four Olympus digital cameras.
1893, the first recorded hockey game in Alberta history. 1952, the Edmonton Mercury's win Olympic gold.
1999, our dad takes me to my first hockey game.
Hockey, a rich part of Alberta history. To honor the centennial, RBC brings you the 100 Years of Hockey exhibit, featuring great Alberta memorabilia from the Hockey Hall of Fame. For dates and locations, visit a branch or rbc.com/100years. RBC, first for you.
It's your world.
It's your world.
Stay in tune with what's happening on The World Tonight with Rob Breckenridge on AM 770 CHQR.
974-8255, toll-free 1-800-563-7770. The email address, rob@theworldtonight.ca. Well, we can talk about this Freegan movement. I don't know. They don't have numbers posted on their website. I'm not sure how many people have signed on to this. It's obviously, shall we say, a radical approach. Underneath that all, as I say, there are some points here that are fair to make. That being, for example, the waste in society. Fair enough. And even to some extent, corporate behavior in different parts of the world, and certainly that's a fair point as well. But we can get your reaction to that. There's some other news I want to get to in this half hour as well. Some news concerning Hurricane Katrina, the aftermath, an interesting new poll on the oil industry. Let's get to the phones first of all here. I want to say good evening to Dave. Dave, hi, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Rob. I enjoy listening to your show. I always
appreciate it.
You.
Thank you, sir.
I really have trouble with people like this.
Mm-hmm.
If it was up to these people, we'd be starving. We'd
yep.
be, eating grass. Half of us would be dead. You know, as far as they're concerned, they think that we're just a virus. You know, it's just ridiculous. I'm just frankly tired of hearing about it. I think that the government panders too much to them, and I really don't support them at all.
Yep.
And that's what I have to say.
No, Dave, I appreciate that. You know, the one thing that gets overlooked here, and it was a fascinating book we did recently called The Bottomless Well. It took a look at energy. And there was an interesting chapter dealing with environmental issues. And the one thing that gets overlooked here, let's take Manhattan for an example. You've got a lot of people confined in a relatively small, very high population density. And obviously people in Manhattan do not grow their own food. Those that aren't digging in dumpsters go out and buy it. But if these people had it their way, if we took it to the extreme where we just dismantle, our economy, we get rid of all these corporations, we stop buying food, we all just grow our own food. You know, it all sounds very green and very environmental. Do you know what kind of an enormous environmental footprint, how much environmental destruction there would be if all of a sudden we all became farmers? And the point made in the book, well, we go back to the, you get rid of all the cars and you all go back to horses. Well, the time when we had, as they call it, a carbohydrate-driven economy, not only were we growing everything to feed ourselves, we had farms everywhere, we had to grow everything to feed the horses to keep this economy driving. Well, you got to get rid of a lot of trees to have that sort of an economy. And if you're getting rid of all of those trees, the environmental movement has lectured us long enough that I know that that's not a good thing. And also another point, Ron Bailey, we spoke with recently. He's writes for Reason.com, Reason Magazine, also had a new book on the biotech revolution. You know, the fear-mongering about genetically modified organisms, pesticides and all these sorts of things, and others have pointed it out. You look at, for example, the ban on DDT. How many lives have been lost due to malaria as a result of that? And Ron Bailey also makes a strong case for GMOs as a way to help feed people. And how many people are starving, he asks, because of this knee-jerk reaction to GMOs. So some points about that. Let's go back to the phones here. I want to get more of your reaction to this. Erica, good evening. Welcome to the program. Erica, you with us? Okay. All right. Apparently, Erica's not there. Anyhow, that gives us a chance. I just want to move on to a couple of other things.